declare unto you that in the seventh month, on the tenth day of the month, ye shall afflict your souls and do no work at all, whether it be one of your own country or a stranger that sojourneth among you. For on that day shall the priest make an atonement for you to cleanse you, that you may be clean from all your sins before the Lord. It shall be a Sabbath of rest unto you, and ye shall afflict your souls by a statute forever. And the priest whom ye shall anoint, and whom ye shall consecrate to minister in the priest's office in his father's stead, shall make the atonement, and shall put on the linen clothes, even the holy garment, and he shall make an atonement for the holy sanctuary, and he shall make an atonement for the tabernacle of the congregation, and for the altar, and he shall make an atonement for the priest, and for all the people of the congregation. And this shall be an everlasting statute unto you, to make an atonement for the children of Israel for all their sins, once a year, and he did as the Lord commanded Moses. Today, what I want to talk about is five verses, the first of the I'm going to talk about the order of God's atonement. The order of God's atonement was laid out pretty matter of fact. Now, there are other things. I got seven, but there are other things, especially in the first beginning of this chapter, that I have that question. But I want to speak about the atonement, because it's important. The atonement, the cleansing, cannot be spoken of outside of the necessary sacrifice. And he deals with that in the first part. He mentions it here, that it is offered, that it goes in this present order, that this is the word of the Lord to Moses, telling him what Aaron is supposed to do. This is the will of the high priest and the high priest. Because he starts it off here, the first thing I've got actually is that it must happen at God's appointed time. God revealed his way of atonement in the Old Testament in type, and he brought it forth in fullness, and in reality, in Jesus Christ. But this is the order that we were given through Moses by God. This is a statute forever unto you that in the seventh month, on the tenth day of the month, this is the day. On that day, you shall fix the day. This is the day that the Lord has chosen for the day of atonement. Now, there is an order. He sacrifices. He speaks. Okay, the spring season has a fall. This is the first one of the fall. Now, it says the 7 months, which for us would be July, but this is the Jewish calendar, and it's usually right now because it's still the month of September. That's when the day of the atonement. And that's by the Jewish religious calendar, not the Jewish secular calendar, which they have one of those too. But this is the day that is never coming. It's true even in the type. God has changed. There is a time for every person under the sun. We don't get the picture. thing I noticed here is our Father. Still in verse 29. Our Father is no way. You've got to know what before that, it says another thing which I find highly significant. This is a day of atonement. Afflict your soul, but and do no work. The day of atonement is the day for the remembrance of sin against God. That's where all sin is. That's what sin is. Sin is an offense against God, not against man. It may be against man also. You can sin against your neighbor, but in sinning against your neighbor, you can sin against God. And this is the day of atonement where these sins are to be paid for. You are to assist your soul. You are to contemplate what you have done. This is not done unknowingly. It's done knowingly, and you do know this. Don't walk. That's hard thing for a man to do sometimes. I want to teach something. The world is doing all kinds of things. They'll tell you to come, they'll tell you to kneel, they'll tell you to pray, they'll tell you to do it. No, this says, stay, you can't do no work. Afflict your soul. Think about what you have done. That might help you keep from doing something else. That's our part to do. No work. At all. No work at all. This is a day about our sins against God. This is a day of punishment for our sins. Right here, on this day, seventh month, the tenth day, something, this day, is done. You're not going to be punished, but there is going to be punished. Your blood's not going to be shed. Doesn't say afflict your body. These old Catholic cults that have been over in the times past, they used to like to whip themselves. You know? I don't know about people like that. People get stupid things in their mind because they're stupid. And they're corrupt. And they're fallen. And they think by punishing themselves, hurting themselves, that somehow makes up for their sin against God, but this book says, you do no work. Afflict the soul, don't afflict the body. It's not going to work. Matter of fact, it's another sin you're adding on. David said, how wonderfully and marvelously I am made. Let me hit myself with a bat. I don't think he added that one. But that's the way. There are people, and I've talked to them at work and at school in times past. They deny themselves something. But God. Yeah, that's what the code is. I know a guy that, and it's true, he denied himself shopping for 3 months because he really loved shopping. And he did like that. I mean, you need a lot of it. But he did it. I'm sorry. God doesn't need you not to eat chocolate cake. Whatever God needs, He's sufficient. He's complete. He's perfect. He's holy. He's righteous. He's good. He's complete. He doesn't need anything from you.
If I suffer,
the book says if you suffer for Christ's sake, you will. That's for the sake of Christ. For the sake of Christ. Not for the sake of you wanting to talk about it. Not for the sake of you beating yourself with a belt. In some cases, there were people who used to fight. They wore one of the camel hair shirts or horse hair shirts or something like this. Something just to make themselves uncomfortable so they'd be uncomfortable in the flesh. And the day of atonement, the day before you are doing such good, we are going to be matter of fact, in chapter 23, it actually gives you a couple of things about it. Leviticus 23, verse 28, says this: "And ye shall do no work in that same day, for it is a day of atonement." That's why you're not supposed to work. It's a day of atonement. "It shall be a holy convocation unto you, and ye shall afflict your souls, and offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord, and ye shall do no work in that same day." I just read that again. I'm sorry. "To make an atonement for you before the Lord your God, for whatsoever soul it be that shall not be afflicted in that same day, he shall be cut off from the sheep." Verse 30. "And whatsoever soul it be that doeth any work in that same day, the same soul will I destroy." And the wrong system. That word destroy there is utterly destroyed. That's how serious God is the day of the day. If you do anything, violating the sacrifice. If there's one thing you can bet on that God takes more seriously than anything else, if there is such a thing, it's the death of Christ. It's the price that is on the cross. That's what it's going to mean. That's what it's a picture of. That's what it's a type of. That's what it's a shadow of better things to come. You do anything, I'll destroy it. Why? Because if you're trying to do something in the day of the punishment, for the mission of your sin, you have neither heart nor luck in this mission. You don't know it. Do no work or be destroyed. Afflict your soul and do no work in the day of atonement. The third thing, verse 30, "For on that day shall the priest make an atonement for you, to cleanse you, that you may be clean from all your sins before the Lord." Before the Lord. The third thing I want is it must be God's will. You turn to the Lord. He starts off by telling us we're to do no work. Because we're prone to do. We're prone to want to. We're prone to want to get something so we can take some credit. But then he tells us no. The atonement is made for the congregation. It is not made by the congregation. The atonement is given to the congregation by God. And I found it strange here. And I do understand the point. You see in verse 30, for acceptable offering. Abel offered a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. But he tells you what? Did he do what? Now, I've been rereading, and but they get on this kick, and he's exactly right. They get on this kick saying, well, the only difference between Abel and Cain is that sacrifice. No. Well, that's what I've read. Somebody wrote it down. That is the difference between the two, was the sacrifice. No, the difference is with this. The sacrifice is man's. The sacrifice didn't make the difference there. It was already a difference there. My faith, Abel. Where did faith come from? We know now in the New Testament, Paul told us and there we have it. Abel, by faith, offered a more excellent sacrifice. There was a difference. Manifested the difference. When Moses received the law, he also received from God the order and type and shadows and instructions concerning the sacrifice. What he told Moses was that he was he told what to bring on the field. He told the way of them. He told what to bring the Day of Atonement. He told what to do on Passover. He told what God has given us these instructions. And you never told them in the New Testament. They are shadows. They are types of what was to come. It is what we call, for lack of a better term, a progressive revelation of our Lord Jesus Christ. You could hear it. God is building up his revelation and revealing a little bit of himself, a little bit of his son, and how that connects to Scripture. Today is Passover. sin is supposed to affect you, then you are to feel guilty. Psychology today, not much said. You should feel bad about that. You should. There's too many people out there right now trying to make everybody feel good. God says, afflict your soul and do no work. We're going to know. We're going to know. You're going to know. If you're in the congregation, you're going to know it's the Day of Atonement. The sacrifice, or anything else, is all God's grace. Telling it loaded straight out. In this next verse, verse 31, it comes back to us again. He starts off telling us today, then he tells us to afflict our souls and do no work. Then he says, I'm going to do the work for you. So then he comes back to us and says, it's going to be a Sabbath of rest. And you shall afflict your souls by statute forever. So here's our part. Afflict the soul. Do no work. I like that. I like that. Especially on the Day of Atonement. This is not even Sabbath. It's the Day of Atonement. First he tells us to do no work. He says, I'm going to do the work. He says, it's a Sabbath. The Day of Atonement is a gift. The gift. The work of the Lord. All the fruit of the Spirit that we enjoy. Without it, without the Day of Atonement, there would be no. It's a day like this, like unlike any other. Because this is for your offenses, it's for your transgressions, it is for our sins, and it is for our verse 32. And the priest whom he shall anoint and whom he shall consecrate to minister in the priest's office in his father's stead shall make the atonement and shall put on the linen clothes even the Holy Ghost. Guess what? The atonement is by God's eye. I believe it says it in another spot. blessed are the ones God said to them. Because Walter talked about it, actually mentioned it last week. God chose Aaron over the others of the congregation because he dropped it back. God also chose Aaron to say, he shall consecrate to minister. Now the word consecrate means to be full. For the high priest shall be anointed with oil and filled full. The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob chooses who will offer sacrifice. The atonement was typical, a type of the true atonement to come. And what we have in the New Testament is the Father showing us, the Father shows us. This is my beloved Son. This is my beloved Son. No one loves his Son. The high priest here in the Old Testament had to offer that sacrifice, that blood, for himself. Excuse me. He could even enter the holy. Why? Because he was a man. Aaron was a man. And we've already seen some of the things that Aaron had done. There was this golden calf that jumped out of a fire. No, they made it. And they were worshiping. That was one of the things maybe Aaron had done. That's just how he was. And he lied about it. Melchizedek blessed Abraham, Father Abraham. Melchizedek blessed him. All earth, as Hebrew says it, the less is always blessed of the family. What's he saying? Melchizedek was better than Abraham. I do believe Melchizedek was a good father. The appearance of Christ on earth. Therefore, he came. I don't know anybody else without beginning of days and without end of days. And I've seen these preachers, oh, I bless these people, Lord. I'm not talking about priests sprinkling water, they do that too. I'm talking about preachers, so-called preachers, who are trying to pronounce a blessing. I can't give you my blessing and then it's not worth it. That's the order of truth. We are seated at the right hand of the Father, ever living to make intercession for us. We don't have a priest in heaven who can't be touched with infirmity. He's been here. He knows what this world's like. He walked on it. execution. It had to be the death of an acceptable, innocent substitute. That's actually in that verse 3. Yes, Aaron, thus shall Aaron come into the holy place with a young boy to sin offering and a ram for a burnt offering. There is no atonement. Without shedding of blood, death by itself is not enough. But the life that's God's rule is not mine. That's His chosen acceptable sacrifice. Our Lord. First time, only in one of the Gospels, and only a short mention, but it's significant, especially in this case, that He was reaching out and He said, touch me not. After that, He appeared and said, here, touch me, stick your fingers in my side. Come on. He ate bread and did. Nothing happened when you see that man. I'll tell you that. I believe that's when you see that man. Touch me not. I'm not with the fingers in my side. You can see that man. I'm not with the fingers in my side. With that action, that God has chosen, that perfect sinless life. Chastising about Jesus. There is no atonement, but there is no blood. We still sin. Believe we still sin. But believe in the name of God. Still one of my favorite verses in the Scripture. Blessed is the man who believes in the Lord. God can be just and the justifier of them who believe in Him. Because He paid the price for all. The Lord laid down on the cross. Verse 33. The atonement is made in God's holy name. Not only is there a time for every season under the heaven, Walter and I were talking, there's a place. There's a place. Verse 33, and he says, now this is the Old Testament. This is the high priest. He shall make an atonement for the holy sanctuary. He shall make an atonement for the tabernacle of the congregation and for the altar, and he shall make an atonement for the priest and for all the people of the congregation. He made an atonement for the sanctuary, the tabernacle. Thanks for the blood of God. heaven and offered his precious blood for the atonement of his people. And this atonement make an atonement for the children of Israel for all their sins. And this continued to be the ordained way of God. There's a reason that Baal was in the temple. When he died, it split. And we're told that. This was the way ordained by God for everything to be done. This is a real thing. This is not a story. This is not a made-up event. This is not fiction. This is the truth of it. Our Lord Jesus Christ died. That failed. Now, I don't doubt for a minute that they didn't put up another. Or soda. The atonement is forever. Due to sin, we are sanctified by the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once. And then further on, it says, for by one offering. There's only one. There's only one atonement, true atonement, real atonement. Forever in the eternal with that faith. But by that offering, we are sanctified and perfected of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. put it this way, by so much was Jesus made us good.